Welcome to the room. Tonight we want to be studying 2 Timothy and start a look through of that last of Paul's writings. Let's start with first chapter, first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It says, an apostle. An apostle is a sent out one. Sent out one, apostella. So we know that God sent out Paul. Paul was sent out to build the body of Christ, to preach the word. And it can be said either way. Paul was sent to be preaching the word to teach the body of Christ, or it can be said Paul was also sent to teach the body of Christ to be preaching the word. They're both parts of Paul's doctrine. Verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So there you've got grace and mercy and peace. This is one of the ones, pastoral, where he adds peace to that greeting. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. You know, he's an encourager. Paul is encouraging. He starts off by encouraging Timothy, the young, I don't know that you could call him a trainee, but that's what he was doing. He was bringing him up, teaching him, you know, the doctrine, the traditions, the manner of life. Verse 4, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Faith in God has been passed on to Lois, and then passed on to Eunice, and then passed on to Timothy. Can we see that pattern there? That's the only way we have it today. Faith in the Word of God being shared with others, and they share it with others. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So he lists this three-stage, what would you call it? Not triplet. Three stages of passing on to the next generation the Word of God and, you know, the gospel. So Paul put his hands on it too, and he had an effect on Timothy. Paul is in that line of passing on to Timothy the faith in God. Now, well, let's go on to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but God, and you can put in there, God hath given us the spirit of power, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker. These are good words for any of us. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Where'd the power come from? Go back to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The testimony of our Lord is the passing on of the faith that Paul is sent to. He's sent out. He's the sent out one, sent out to pass on the faith. That's the propagating the faith, passing it on. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I don't believe, you know, it starts off, who hath saved us. I don't believe God only saved Paul or Paul and Silas. He's talking about us, including you and me listening today, reading today, who has saved us. And that's the same us. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Think about it. You know, we've got things in our past that, you know, if not forgiven by the blood of Christ on the cross, if not died for, they would be haunting us. But God has taken that. He's taken, Christ has taken the wrath of God against all those sins and against our sin nature from Adam. He took it to the cross. And it was on the cross that those were forgiven and that we were reconciled. Colossians 1:20. So let's go on. 2 Timothy 1:10. But that holy calling now it's talking about from verse 9, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Twice in 2 Timothy, Paul uses the appearing or his appearing, the word appearing, to refer to Christ's appearing to Paul on the Damascus Road. The other use is in 2 Timothy 4:8 that we'll get to later, but it reads, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus, and the new pattern of salvation that God set up. You can't love something that hasn't happened yet. You hope for that. If you love something, it's an appearing that has already occurred. It occurred in Acts 9 on the Damascus Road. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. So it's still appointed unto man once to die. Also, the second death is yet future for those to whom it pertains. So what death was abolished? We must look for a qualifier. What does Paul say? Paul adds the qualifier. He uses... let's look at... who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. Here's the qualifier. Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Believers in Paul's gospel will be raised to life. Disbelievers in Paul's gospel will be raised to the second death. Not a nice thing. Not a pleasant thing at all. Terrible. Through the gospel, our Savior Jesus Christ has abolished death. Whereunto, 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So I believe he's included them all in the same sentence because they're all of the Gentiles, preacher of the Gentiles, apostle of the Gentiles, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul is referring to his missionary type sending out to preach and teach the Gentiles, being an apostle of the Gentiles, and there were several others, but that's not Paul's unique apostleship, to reveal the mystery, write inspired scripture, and care for all the churches. Regarding that unique apostleship of Paul, he says, I am the, and that's singular, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. That's Romans 11:13. In 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. And then in Philippians 1:29, for unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. Look at John 17:3, a statement by Jesus Christ to God. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, to know thee. Back to 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, I'm going to step out of 2 Timothy for a minute here. Look at Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. But for us also, to whom, now it's talking about the righteousness of God, the very righteousness of God, flawless righteousness. But for us also, to whom that righteousness shall be imputed, if we, and you think back to all the mistakes you've made and all the things you've done, how can I qualify? Well, that doesn't qualify you. That doesn't disqualify you. What qualifies you is if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now let's snap back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Strong advice in Paul's last letter. Hold fast the form of sound words. It's not easy to do. We must do it. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. How do we hear of Paul and what Paul said? We hear in his epistles, reading it, Ephesians 3:4. When you read, you shall know understanding of the mystery, Paul said. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So he's talking about Paul's traditions, Paul's teaching by word, or Paul's teaching in his epistles. Stand fast and hold the traditions. Hold the traditions you've been taught by our epistle. In other words, not man's traditions, but the traditions that God revealed to Paul for us. And you don't get that just by listening to others or radio programs or listening to me. You don't get it by going to church, these traditions. You get them by studying the scriptures, by studying Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. Study is one thing, the traditions that God revealed to Paul for us. Study, preach the word, keep the unity, forgive others, and gracious speech seasoned with salt. Those are some of the things. That's not a list of commandments or anything. Those are some of the things that we grow by. Let's go back here. Those are the traditions that he's talking about, some of them, in his epistles. So 2 Timothy 2:15 again, it tells us to stick together with the word of God and with fellow believers. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us." And very specific, he is being specific again about what traditions, not just, at that time, Jewish traditions. In fact, he says, don't list your genealogy and how long you've been a Jew or how long you were a Jew before you, he's talking about the traditions that Christ had him deliver unto us, unto them, in the scripture. And we read the scripture and it's to us. These Paul's letters, especially those prison epistles, don't have any of the dispensation of the gospel characteristics in it that are, for instance, signs, tongues. They had new Jewish believers mixed among them that couldn't go to the synagogues because they believed Jesus was the Messiah, and yet they still had the Passover, and so there were questions. That doesn't exist today. Israel's gone. So, stay in the Word of God, fellowship together, and withdraw from the disorderly. Notice how often Paul emphasizes the importance of sticking with his doctrine, his traditions, his preaching, and his gospel. Review the gospel here. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2 tell what to do with the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Not just that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That leaves out the gospel. But that Christ died for our sins. My sins are died for already. They're not still hanging over me. How do we know that? First and second verses of 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved." So, this is the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel that saves them. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 1:16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So he goes on to say, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you," you don't get saved by believing that you're saved by Peter's gospel or by the gospel of Israel that Christ preached to Israel when he came, the gospel of the kingdom it's called. That doesn't save anybody today. The kingdom is not at hand. It was rejected. Christ moved on to reveal to Paul this new pattern of salvation. So he says, "Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And I believe that "believed in vain" refers to the same sentence, what he had mentioned in the same sentence earlier there. "Keep in memory what I preached unto you." if you don't keep in memory what Paul preached unto you to believe it for salvation, you've believed in vain. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things thou hast heard of me, Paul says, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And that's our commission today. That's what we're sent out to do, to say. The things thou hast heard of me, Paul says, and he's not being boastful. He would be negligent if he didn't say that. You know, I mean, he's the one that God gave the traditions to, the gospel to. He's just giving us information that we can go on to grow and to propagate the gospel beyond us. 2 Timothy 1:14, back in line with the flow here. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And I think he's still talking about his grandmother Lois, her influence on him, his mother Eunice, and Paul's input into Timothy's life. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So, and we can see more about that in 1 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith. So that's a big part of being established. Romans 16, 25 and 26 names my gospel as the first part, believing the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for your sins, all of them, they're died for, and that he was buried and rose again without any sin. So Paul says, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. Comfort, that's, you're not worried about it. Am I saved or not? Well, if you're worrying about it, are you saved? You're not trusting, are you? You may have trusted in the past, in which case you are saved. But to be saved, you need to trust that Christ did die for all your sins, and that they're not over you, and that what he said to you in the Bible, in these verses, is true. Believe it. So, going on in the flow here, the flow of the book or epistle, 2 Timothy 1:15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. That just goes to show that the truth is not determined by majority vote. All they which are in Asia be turned away from me. And yet Paul was the only one with the truth. They all turned away from the truth. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. Boy, that's a good report, isn't it? How would you like to have your name in there? The Lord give mercy unto the house of you, for you often refreshed me, and were not ashamed of my chain. Being refreshed, giving refreshment to others. That's a part of propagating Paul's gospel. The body of Christ churches receive it when you do. Those in the churches, those in the body of Christ, whether they're individuals or churches. 2 Timothy 1:17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, still talking about Onesiphorus, verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. So I don't know whether this is one of Paul's circumcision helpers or not. It sounds likely. The Lord grant him that he may find mercy in the day, mercy of the Lord in that day. Well, the Jews are looking forward to the return of Christ, when a fountain will be opened up for the sins, to cover their sins, and that's when their sins will be blotted out. Peter didn't say more than that. He said they would be blotted out when Christ returns. That's Acts 3:19. So they were trying to endure to the end to receive that salvation at the end. Not only refreshing each other, but also ministering to each other. How many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. It helps to propagate Paul's gospel, his doctrine, the churches, and the traditions. Look at the second chapter now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And not only does grace teach us, as in Titus 2:11 and 12, but here we see that grace strengthens us. God's grace makes us stronger. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things, this is verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, that's the first transfer from Paul to Timothy, heard of me, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That's the second transfer from Paul to Timothy, and Timothy to these faithful men, and then, you know, to teach others also, that those faithful men would teach others also. That's the third transfer to the fourth generation of believers. So, but there it is again. You have heard of me. It all comes back to God's revelation, Christ's revelation to Paul. And we need to ferret that out. We need to study for it to find it. Things heard of me, my gospel, the traditions by word or our epistle, so it came from Christ to Paul to us, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, of whom? Of Paul. That which I preached unto you, Paul preached it to them. So are we starting to see a pattern? And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy's a good example of faithful men. Let's look for a few minutes in Philippians chapter 2, start in verse 19, and we'll go down and we'll close with this, going down to verse 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This is what we should strive for. This is, you know, wouldn't you like to have this, people, when they think of you, to think of someone that is like-minded with Paul and that cares about people he's talking to? Verse 21, for all seek their own, and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you, and this is 22, Philippians 2, 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, He hath served with me in the gospel. So we'll conclude the first part right there and get to the next part tomorrow, hopefully.